All right, you really threw us into the deep end this time. A stack of Pottawatomie County, Oklahoma, audit reports from 2007 to 2014.
Wow.
It's like a financial time capsule, but don't worry. We're here to decode all these financial statements,
Yeah.
auditor findings, and management responses.
Think of it as a financial health checkup for the county,
Yeah.
but with the potential for some interesting diagnoses.
Exactly. We're
Yeah.
not just looking at balance sheets. We're looking for the stories behind the numbers. What can you tell us about Pottawatomie County that might give us some context for these reports?
Well, it's a place where history and finances are very closely intertwined. The county has a rich Native American heritage, with the Seminole Creek and Citizen Band Potawatomi tribes all having deep roots there. It went through a land run settlement in 1891, and there are even ghost towns
Ghost towns.
scattered throughout the landscape, remnants of a boom and bust past.
That's incredible. I wonder if those lost settlements show up anywhere in these financial statements.
They might. What's fascinating is how this history directly impacts the county's finances. For instance, the county relies heavily on ad valorem taxes. Those are property taxes, and those are tied to property values.
Makes sense. More property, more taxes.
Exactly. And those values are influenced by the county's development over time, whether those ghost towns stayed ghost towns or became something else. Plus, you mentioned Shawnee almost becoming the state capital. Imagine the impact that would have had on property values and the county's financial landscape.
Oh, wow, for sure. Okay, so the past is very much present in these reports. Now, let's dive into the numbers themselves. I see the county uses something called fund accounting. Can you break that down for us? There's a general fund, a highway fund, a health fund, even a sheriff drug buy fund. Why so many separate accounts?
It's all about organization, legal compliance, and transparency. Each fund has specific rules governing how the money can be used, ensuring accountability to taxpayers. Think of it like separate jars for your household expenses, one for groceries, one for rent, one for, well, maybe not drug buys, but you get the idea.
So it's like making sure you don't accidentally spend your grocery money on a new pair of shoes, but instead of shoes, it's a new police cruiser or
Not
something.
exactly. You can't dip into the sheriff drug buy fund to fix a pothole, for example. And this system helps auditors track how money is flowing and whether it's being used appropriately.
Got it. So looking at these financial statements, in 2007, the total cash balance across all county funds was over $11 million, increasing to almost $13 million by 2008. And by 2014, the estimated fair market value of taxable property in the county was over $2.5 billion.
That's a big number.
Those are some big numbers. What can you tell us about the county's overall financial health during this period based on these early figures? Were they rolling in dough?
Well, it's not quite as simple as looking at the total cash balance. A healthy bank account doesn't always tell the whole story. We need to consider the sources of that revenue. Are they sustainable? We need to analyze spending patterns. Are they efficient and responsible? And we need to understand the long-term debt situation. Is the county living within its means?
It's like looking at your own personal finances. You have a good chunk of change in your checking account, but if you're racking up credit card debt and living paycheck to paycheck, you're not exactly financially secure.
Precisely. However, those increasing property values do suggest a growing tax base, which is generally a positive sign for a local government. It means there's potential for more resources to fund public services, but we'll need to dig deeper to see if that potential was realized.
Okay, so we've got this picture of Pottawatomie County, a place steeped in history with a complex financial system. But we know these reports aren't just about numbers. They also flag potential issues, right?
Absolutely.
Like a financial checkup that might reveal some underlying conditions.
Auditors aren't just number crunchers. They're looking for anything that might be out of place, any red flags that could indicate problems in the county's operations. And sometimes those findings can be quite revealing.
And maybe a little bit juicy. Here's where it gets really interesting. The auditors uncovered some questionable practices, including issues with payroll, signature stamps, computer passwords, and even missing documentation for federal grants.
Yes, those findings are where the real insights lie. They help us understand not just the what of the county's finances, but the how and why as well.
So let's unpack some of these findings, starting with those signature stamps. In 2007, the auditors flagged the use of these stamps by county commissioners. What was the issue there?
The problem wasn't the stamps themselves,
okay,
but where they were kept.
Okay.
They weren't stored in secure locations, meaning anyone could have potentially used them to authorize transactions.
Wait, so anyone could just walk in and start signing off on county expenditures? That sounds like a recipe for disaster.
Yeah.
It certainly raised concerns about potential misuse and unauthorized transactions.
Yeah.
Imagine the chaos if those stamps fell into the wrong hands.
So what happened? Did they put the stamps under lock and key, or did they go full on digital signatures?
They opted for a simpler solution. They moved the stamps to the vault.
Ah, back to basics. Sometimes the most effective solutions are the simplest ones.
Yeah.
But it makes you wonder how those stamps weren't in a secure location to begin with.
It does raise questions about the county's internal controls and oversight procedures at the time.
Okay, let's move on to those payroll problems the auditors uncovered. What exactly were they finding?
Well, the auditors found instances of employees being paid for excessive amounts of compensatory time without proper documentation or timesheets.
So they were getting paid for overtime they might not have actually worked.
That was the concern.
Right.
The auditors couldn't verify the legitimacy of those overtime hours without supporting documentation. There were also discrepancies in leave balances, with some employees having more leave time than they should have accrued. And in one case, an employee received vacation pay upon termination without any supporting records.
That's a lot of potential for errors, or worse, intentional misuse of funds. What was the county's response to these payroll issues? Did they clean house?
In some cases, the employees involved were no longer working for the county by the time the audit was complete. But beyond addressing individual cases,
okay,
they implemented new policies for overtime and leave tracking. They also committed to improving documentation practices to prevent similar problems in the future.
So a combination of personnel changes and procedural updates, it seems like a step in the right direction, at least.
Yes. It shows that the county was taking the auditor's findings seriously and making efforts to improve their internal controls.
Speaking of serious issues, let's talk about the missing federal grant documentation. That sounds like a big one.
It is. In 2008, the auditors couldn't obtain adequate documentation for a significant portion of disaster grants public assistance funds. That's federal money intended to help the county recover from natural disasters or emergencies.
So we're talking about potentially misusing funds that were meant to help people in need.
Yeah.
What kind of consequences could that have for the county?
Well, it depends on the specific circumstances,
Sarah,
what the federal agency decides. But the consequences can range from having to repay the funds
mm-hmm.
to facing restrictions on future grant awards.
Mm-hmm.
In some cases, there could even be criminal charges involved.
Wow, that's a big deal. It highlights the importance of meticulous record keeping when it comes to federal funds.
Absolutely. Transparency and accountability are paramount when dealing with public funds.
Right.
Especially those from federal agencies.
So we've gotten a glimpse into some of the potential issues flagged by the auditors, but these reports are long, and we've only just scratched the surface. In part two of this deep dive, we'll explore more of these findings and see what else the auditors uncovered.
We'll also examine management's responses to these findings in more detail
okay.
to see whether they effectively address the concerns raised by the auditors.
Join us next time as we continue our journey through these fascinating financial documents. Welcome back to our deep dive into the Pottawatomie County audit reports. Last time, we uncovered some questionable practices involving signature stamps, payroll discrepancies, and even missing documentation for federal grants. It's like we've stumbled onto a county-level episode of Forensic Files, but instead of dusting for fingerprints, we're digging through financial statements.
Indeed, and these reports often contain more intrigue than a detective novel. Remember, these findings aren't about pointing fingers. They're about identifying areas where the county can improve its operations and safeguard taxpayer dollars.
Exactly. It's like a financial checkup sometimes. You get news you don't want to hear, but it's always better to know and address the issues head on. So, what other intriguing findings did the auditors unearth?
Let's take a look at the county's estimate of needs from 2011. This document is essentially their budget proposal, outlining projected revenues and expenditures for the upcoming fiscal year.
Okay, so it's like the county's financial roadmap for the year. What did the auditors find concerning about this estimate of needs? Did someone mess up the math?
It wasn't a simple math error, but there were some significant discrepancies that raised red flags. For instance, the beginning balance for outstanding warrants didn't match the county's records.
Hold on, can you explain what outstanding warrants are? I'm not familiar with that term.
Certainly. Outstanding warrants are essentially unpaid bills or checks that the county has issued but haven't yet been cashed or cleared. They represent a liability for the county, as those funds are already committed.
So if the beginning balance for these outstanding warrants was off, that means the county's financial picture might not have been entirely accurate.
Precisely. It suggests that their accounting systems might not have been perfectly aligned, leading to discrepancies in their budget projections.
Yeah.
And there were other issues as well. The ad valorem net valuations reported in the estimate of needs, that's the total assessed value of taxable property in the county, didn't match the assessor's certified report to the excise board.
Wait, those numbers should be the same, right? It's the same property being assessed, just coming from different sources.
You'd think so, yet there was a variance of almost $2 million between the two reports.
That's not exactly chump change. What does that kind of discrepancy indicate?
It could be a simple clerical error, but it might also point to deeper issues with communication and coordination between different departments within the county. It suggests that the information flow wasn't as seamless as it should be, potentially leading to inaccuracies in the budgeting process. And there's more. There were also discrepancies in the original appropriations for the highway and health funds compared to what the excise board had approved the previous year.
So it seems like there were several areas where the estimate of needs didn't quite align with reality. What did the auditors recommend the county do to fix these budgeting blunders?
They emphasized the importance of the excise board thoroughly reviewing the estimate of needs before giving it the stamp of approval. They urged the county to implement stricter procedures for data verification and reconciliation to ensure the accuracy of their budget projections.
That sounds like a reasonable recommendation. After all, you can't really plan for the future if your financial roadmap is riddled with potholes.
Indeed. Accurate budgeting is essential for sound financial management. Now let's shift gears and explore a finding from the 2008 report that caught my attention. The auditors discovered that the county didn't have a comprehensive disaster recovery plan in place.
Wait, no disaster recovery plan, but Oklahoma is known for its tornadoes. What were they thinking?
That was precisely the auditor's concern. The county lacked clear guidelines for backing up critical data, restoring systems, and ensuring the continuity of operations in case of a major disruption.
That's a huge risk for any organization, but especially one responsible for essential public services. Imagine a tornado wiping out county records or crippling their ability to respond to emergencies. What would they do?
The auditors stressed the importance of having a detailed plan that covered everything from identifying critical resources to outlining backup and recovery procedures. They urged the county to consider various disaster scenarios and develop specific protocols for each.
Did they take this seriously? I mean, a tornado isn't exactly a hypothetical threat in Oklahoma.
They did. The county clerk's office assured the auditors that they were working on developing a comprehensive disaster recovery plan to be ready for any future emergencies.
That's a relief to hear. It's better to be prepared than caught off guard when disaster strikes.
Speaking of potential disasters, let's revisit those computer password issues we touched on earlier. It seems like there was a pattern of terminated employees' passwords remaining active, potentially granting access to sensitive information even after they'd left the county.
Yes. The auditors found this issue recurring in several reports, highlighting a persistent weakness in their cybersecurity practices.
So someone could quit their job, maybe even in a huff, and still log in and cause mischief? That's not exactly a comforting thought. What steps did the county take to address these cybersecurity concerns? Were those steps sufficient? They assured the auditors that they were working with their IT personnel to improve security protocols. They claimed to be implementing procedures for deactivating terminated employees' passwords promptly and strengthening password complexity requirements. However, the auditors continued to find instances of this issue in subsequent reports, suggesting that those measures might not have been fully effective.
So it sounds like they were trying to improve their digital defenses, but maybe their efforts fell short. Cybersecurity is a constant cat and mouse game, and it seems like the county might have been falling behind. What about their physical assets? Did the auditors find any problems with how the county was managing its inventory of vehicles, equipment, and other tangible property?
They did indeed. In 2014, they discovered that 13 inventory items had been disposed of without proper approval from the Board of County Commissioners.
Wait, so they were just getting rid of county property without getting the okay from the folks in charge. What kind of items are we talking about here? Staplers and paper clips?
We're talking tractors, mowers, even a motor grader. Not exactly everyday office supplies.
Wow, that's a significant lapse in oversight. What was the county's explanation for this unauthorized disposal of assets?
They didn't provide a specific explanation, but they assured the auditors that they would implement stricter procedures for inventory management, including annual inventory counts and better record-keeping practices.
Let's hope those procedures involved more than just sticky notes and a Sharpie. Accurate inventory management is crucial for any organization, but especially for a government entity entrusted with taxpayer dollars.
Absolutely. These findings highlight the need for clear policies and procedures, robust internal controls, and regular audits to ensure that public resources are being managed responsibly and efficiently. But there's more to uncover in these reports. Join us for the final part of our deep dive as we wrap up our analysis and explore the broader implications of these findings.
We'll be back soon to connect the dots and see what lessons we can learn from Pottawatomie County's financial journey. Welcome back to the deep dive. We've spent the last two episodes digging through Pottawatomie County's audit reports from 2007 to 2014. We've uncovered some fascinating and, at times, concerning details about the county's financial management practices.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, let's step back and see what we can learn from all of this.
You know, it's as we've gone through these reports, it struck me that they're not just about numbers and regulations.
Right.
They offer a real window into the complexities of running a local government.
Absolutely. And for those of us who aren't accountants or auditors, it's easy to get lost in the technical jargon. But these reports ultimately reflect decisions made by real people, decisions that have real consequences for the residents of Pottawatomie County.
Exactly. And while we've seen some areas where the county could improve, it's important to remember that no organization is perfect.
Right.
Every government entity faces challenges.
Sure.
And makes mistakes. The key is to learn from those mistakes and strive for continuous improvement.
So as we wrap up this deep dive,
what
are some of the key takeaways that stand out to you? What are the big picture lessons we can glean from these Pottawatomie County audit reports?
Well, one recurring theme we've encountered is the importance of strong internal controls. Think back to the signature stamps being left unsecured, the payroll discrepancies, and the recurring issues with computer passwords. Those are all symptoms of weaknesses in the county's internal control systems.
It's like having a security system with all the bells and whistles, but forgetting to set the alarm.
Right.
What good is it if those safeguards aren't actually being implemented?
Exactly. Strong internal controls are essential for preventing errors, deterring fraud, and ensuring that public funds are used appropriately. It's not just about catching mistakes after they happen.
Right.
It's about creating a culture of accountability and responsibility from the outset.
So it's about setting up systems and procedures that make it harder to make mistakes in the first place.
Precisely. And along those lines, another crucial takeaway is the need for clear, well-documented procedures.
Mm-hmm.
We saw how a lack of documentation led to questions about the use of federal grant funds and contributed to those inventory management issues.
It's like trying to assemble a piece of furniture without the instruction manual.
Yeah.
You might eventually figure it out, but there's a good chance you'll end up with some missing parts or a wonky final product.
Exactly. Clear procedures ensure that everyone knows what they're supposed to do, how they're supposed to do it, and why it's important. This not only helps prevent errors, but also provides a clear audit trail.
Right.
Making it easier to track how decisions were made and who was responsible.
And that brings us back to the importance of transparency and accountability.
Absolutely. These audit reports remind us that government entities are entrusted with taxpayer dollars.
Yes.
And have a responsibility to manage those funds carefully and transparently.
They also highlight the crucial role that auditors play in holding government accountable. These reports might not always be the most exciting reading material, but they serve a vital function in ensuring the integrity and efficiency of our public institutions.
I couldn't agree more. So as we conclude this deep dive into the financial world of Pottawatomie County, I'm left with a question for you and for our listeners.
I'm all ears. What's the question that's been swirling around in your mind?
We've seen how Pottawatomie County grappled with challenges, implemented changes, and ultimately aimed to improve its financial management practices. But what about the bigger picture? What lessons can we, as individuals, extract from these findings? How can we apply these principles of accountability, transparency, and strong internal controls to our own lives, whether it's managing our personal finances, overseeing a community organization, or even holding our elected officials accountable?
That's a great question to ponder.
Yeah.
It reminds us that the principles of good governance aren't confined to the halls of government. They're applicable to all aspects of our lives.
Exactly. And it underscores the importance of staying informed, asking questions, and holding ourselves and those in positions of authority accountable for responsible financial stewardship.
Thanks for joining us on this journey through the fascinating world of county audits. We hope you've gained some valuable insights along the way. And remember, the numbers tell a story, but it's up to us to interpret that story and use it to build a better future.